Yes, and we're prepared to address that in the fees.
I call this congressional first committee to order. Time is 9:09 a.m. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Edwards.
Present.
Congressman Baker.
Here.
Congressman Tillman.
Here.
Congressman Walker.
Here.
Congressman Hamilton.
Here.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and this day, and we thank you for this gift of life, this breath of life that you have bestowed upon us. As we come together as a committee and a Congress, we ask for your grace in helping us make informed decisions as we move forward with the business of the nation. Bless our servicemen and women in uniform. Take care of us all the way from our elders to our infants. We ask this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Next item is approval of minutes. For the second time, I'm going to skip that. And we're going to jump right on in to the full presentation. We have Mr. Felix Jones from John Hancock. Good morning, Felix Jones.
Good morning.
You have the floor.
Thank you so much. I have John Robertson also with me. John is the regional manager with John Hancock in Kansas City. And I've got a couple of handouts that I'll pass around. We've got just a short presentation, and then we've got plenty of time for questions that you might have on the plan. We wanted to make sure that we use this.
Chair for you.
Oh, thank you. Here, we can pass those around. I'll do the same here.
One more card.
There's three more there. That way we'll have everything passed out.
Yeah, then leave us seven others for
okay.
The other folks.
Yeah, we brought extras, so okay. There's three more there. And then three more there. Make sure one more there. I think you've got. Well, it's not as bad as it looks, I promise. Well, thank you all for this opportunity. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of background as to my role. I am actually a financial advisor with Hub International. So I'm located in Tulsa. And I've actually had a relationship with the Osage Nation since about 2010. How I became involved with the 401k plan, I was already working with the Osage Casino. The nation did not have a 401k plan at the time. What they had was just a few employees that were participating in what was called a simple IRA plan. And what happened, they got over 100 employees. So we were in a situation where we could not continue that simple IRA plan. And they said, hey, we'd like to start a 401k plan and have our own plan. So basically, we started the 401k plan. What my role was, I would normally come up on a quarterly basis and meet with the employees to explain, this is what a 401k is, this is how it works, this is what the matching is, here are the investment choices, and then work with them on what was the best investment for them. Because as you know, when you're talking to a 25-year-old on this hand, and then you're talking to a 60-year-old on this hand, that investment discussion can be very different. And in the investment plan with John Hancock, there were a number of investment choices for them. They had everything from the target date accounts to the risk profile accounts to a number of other choices where they could kind of manage their own. And as we talked about, I think I probably met you at one of the meetings that I did. And then we also would attend the big open enrollment meeting. And if you remember on the open enrollment, that's where not only you did the 401k, but the other benefits were done, the medical, the ancillary. So we basically took the plan from zero and built it up with participation and with employees participating in the plan. And what they would normally get, what I passed around, the first brochure, This is just information on a enrollment kit. So for example, for the employees that are still with John Hancock, if you had employees that have not signed up that are part of this group, this is actually the information that they would get. I thought it's probably good for purposes of this meeting to give you updated information. And typically, what they would look at is in the very back, there is an enrollment form that looks just like this. This is what they would complete. And basically, what they're deciding when they sign up for the plan is, number one, do I want to participate by deferring some of my pay into the plan, yes or no? And if so, what percentage of pay? And if you remember, you've actually got a pre-tax contribution to your plan. You've also got the Roth 401k option. And what the difference is, of course, when I talk to an employee, I go, remember, on the pre-tax, you don't pay federal or state tax at this time. So the great thing is, to save a dollar, it only costs you about 75 to 80 cents in actual take-home pay, plus you get the match. Then it accumulates tax deferred. The Roth, what the difference is, if you put a dollar in, you pay taxes on that right now. So you pay your taxes. So that way, when you go to draw the money out, you've already paid your taxes. The other nice thing about the Roth, if you keep it in the Roth at least 5 years and age 59 and a half, then any earnings on that money, the investment return, you do not pay taxes on it. And with your plan, it's even got the flexibility where you can do both. I'll have an employee go, hey, I'm going to put in 10% of my pay. Can I do 5% in the pre-tax and 5% in the Roth? Yes, you can. So it's got that flexibility with the plan. And then if you're participating in the plan, the next question that an employee always has is, well, where can I invest the money? Well, that's what's shown right below that. You've got what's called the target date portfolios, and you've got the lifestyle portfolios. And on a target date, and there's a lot of press now about a target date, that's where all an employee has to know is, what is my age right now, and when will I reach my approximate retirement age? And for most people, it's going to be 67. So for example, if I look at my age right now, and I say I'm going to be 67 in 2040, I can check a target date portfolio, and then that is professionally managed for me. And think of it kind of like a piece of pie. And in that piece of pie will be investments in U.S. stocks, international stocks, bonds, and fixed. And of course, the younger I am, the more aggressive it's going to be. As I get older and get closer to retirement, it'll be rebalanced for me where it actually goes a little bit more conservative through the years. So the target date is what a lot of employees use. They've also got the lifestyle portfolios, which are right next to that, ranging from conservative to aggressive. So once again, the younger I am, typically I would go more toward the growth or the aggressive, which is weighted very, very heavily toward the stock market. So if an employee picks either this option or this option, they're done. For somebody that says, hey, I kind of like to have more choices than that, then that's where you turn the page and you've got a large number of investment accounts that are listed in order from the most conservative to the most aggressive. And then an employee can split it up however they would like. If they say, hey, I like these five accounts, and I'm going to go to 20% in each of those, then that's how their money would be allocated.
When is our election time for all this?
Basically,
what question?
When is the election time for all of this?
Yeah. If you're already, of course, in the plan, you don't have to re-enroll each year. For someone new, there is a waiting period, and the waiting period, you've got to be here typically 60 days, then first of the month. so someone can then enter the plan. But unlike the other benefits, you do not have to re-enroll in this each year. So that would only be for someone that's not in the plan right now.
So we can shift our money, we can shift our portfolio at any time?
At any time.
All right.
And you can do that directly with John Hancock. You can do that right over their website, or you can do that on the 1-800 number. And I'm also available, and I'll leave you my cards, because I said I'm in Tulsa. I'm also available if anyone has questions on their investments or they want to look at something on their investments. I would have employees contact me in the past that I had met with and say, hey, Felix, I've got a question on my account. And then what I can do, I have what's called view only, where I can go in and look at someone's account and see where they're invested, and that way I can advise them. But no one changes their money except that employee. So that way, if you want to make a change, that's something you can do after we talk, or you can do on your own, direct with John Hancock. And all the accounts are valued daily. So we don't recommend you change frequently, because it is a retirement plan, but you absolutely have that flexibility to change your investments anytime that you want to. Yes, sir.
Congressman Walker, you had a question?
I did. You mentioned earlier about the pre-tax portion, which that's would be the non-Roth.
That's correct.
That the pre-tax only applies to what's contributed by the employee, not what is contributed by the nation. Is that
correct? That is correct. Because whether I do the pre-tax or the Roth, and you correct me if I'm wrong, any money that the employer matches, I will be taxed on at some point when I actually go to withdraw it.
I figured that, but I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, so that's exactly correct. Okay. And then what I wanted to do also was take a few minutes and let John Robertson introduce himself. There are a couple of other handouts, because I thought, since he is the regional manager for John Hancock, it'd be great to have him kind of give us an update on any changes with John Hancock, anything that he sees with the plan. You also had a question on the expenses that he was going to address. So I wanted to turn it over to John and let him have a little bit of time to walk through a couple of other things, just to kind of update you on the plan.
Yeah, thanks, Felix. Thank you for taking some time today. As Felix mentioned, I do cover for the regional vice president, I cover all of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Tennessee, Kansas, sort of the swath of the country here for John Hancock. And so we thank you for your business. We've been together in some form or fashion for a long time now as customers of John Hancock, so I thank you for that. Hopefully everybody's familiar enough with their own account, and we can always answer questions, different things like that. Everything is iPhone compatible now, so as Phipps mentioned, going in, accessing your account, you can do it all from your iPhone. From your laptop, you can call an 800 number, so there is a lot of flexibility.
Is there an app?
It's actually what we've done, and the technology people are saying, well, apps for 2010, right? So this is now an intuitive intuitive website, so you can create an icon on your website. It'll take you to the full site, but it will automatically adjust your screen. It'll save your password, so you can have your... look and feel like an app, but it's the actual full site that you don't have to zoom in and out.
Okay.
So I encourage you to go to that and you can access your information on a regular basis. Shannon had mentioned some emails, some issues on questions. I think there are, I'll go ahead and address the fee-related question first before I get into a little bit of a commercial and where we're going and where we are in the industry. I mean, obviously we hated to lose a portion of your business like we did last year with the casino's business moving over to Bank of Oklahoma.
Most of the nation's
business as well. So that was a blow. We certainly understand clients don't stay forever, but in the future we'd love an opportunity to earn that business back. And we'd like to just kind of talk to you about where we are and where we see the industry going in itself and why we are a long-term player in this business, and that will continue to show itself. What happened when we lost a big portion of that business, it obviously affected the fees of the plan. Where we were once a $20 million plan, now we're down to about $375,000-$400,000 plan. Economy of scale, so we had to change the fee structure around, which is why Shannon had indicated she's seeing a fee on the statement now. So it increased, it added about a 0.47% fee to the plan, and that's what you're starting to see show up on your statement now. Felix had indicated that there's a potential for that, maybe the opportunity for the nation to pay that instead of the employee paying that. Certainly can do that. I've got a form that just needs to be signed, and we would have that billed directly to the nation instead of coming out of the individual 401k accounts.
And to throw in one thing, I think the total of that for a dollar amount, it worked out to be about $150 a month, not per employee, but for the whole group.
For the whole plan, yes, sir.
Because you had asked me to calculate what that was.
So currently it's $150 for the group.
Per month, that's correct.
So if we wanted to figure out what that amount was for the year, we'd use the number $150 a month and multiply.
Well, it's a percentage of assets.
A month.
It's a percentage of assets, 0.47% of your plan assets. So that actually will decrease as your plan grows. It will drop off automatically when you get to $1 million. So that fee would no longer apply when the total plan assets got to $1 million. So to say it would be $150 a month exactly, it's based on a percentage of assets. And they actually assess it on a monthly basis, and they would send you a quarterly bill. We were just using for simple math, $150 a month.
So for today's purposes, it's 0.47 of the plan assets, which for today's purposes is about $150.
Correct, that's correct.
All right.
So, I mean, I've got my account pulled up. I don't look at the monthly bill. I get on and check my balance sheet or things like that from time to time. But, so the $150 a month, that's applied to the individual participants?
Yes. Currently.
So if there's only five of us, then we're splitting that
yes.
five ways?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
On a monthly basis?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why it's brought up.
Yeah.
Now, when I talked to the former treasurer about it, she said that any kind of administrative costs that came out of the 401k or any of our health benefit or health or other benefits came out of this pool that when, I think I've told you guys this before, when they calculate the 401k, they put 5% in for each employee, whether they participate or not. So there was a pool of money that they had that's not going to be appropriated out for individual match that they would use to pay administrative fees. Not appropriated for that purpose, but that's what they were doing. So I've talked to Otto and said, with respect to our account, I believe we need to add an administrative fee line item until such time as maybe is the benefit definition changes. But the benefit definition does not include administrative fees associated with that. But if it was paid, if it was incurred by the nation before, and then when we stay here with Hancock now because of the amount of investment we have, it's now being charged to the fee. So that's my position. Since the nation was paying it before, the nation should continue to pay for it.
Congressman Walker.
Along the same lines, but a different method, would be we're already appropriating or over appropriating funds to that line item.
No,
you're shaking your head, no?
Because
we're doing it to the dollar.
Well, if you remember, they did a survey of who was going to participate in the 401k for the year, and if you said yes, they allocated money for that as the budgeting was here. And if you said no, they didn't.
I recall that.
Okay. Now, can I ask a question?
Yes.
You have both, at this point, you have a plan that's called Congress 401k and also the 5%, the regular 401k.
Okay. I think what has happened, and once again, you jump in, here was what my understanding was. We always had one plan that was the Osage Nation plan that Congress was part of.
Right.
So when the other group left, which was the majority of the employees, and went to the BOK, then what my understanding is, we've got the one plan still left, but we've only got a few people in that plan, so there was not two separate distinct plans, the way I understood it.
Correct, and as far as the John Hancock, we only have one plan. Now, there may be different money types within that same plan, where you do your personal deferral contribution and any money that the nation puts in on your behalf, those assets would be separated within the same account, but correct, we only have one plan.
So we need to make sure, though, that within that plan, you have the whole range of what Congress is entitled to pay in, and what they're entitled to have matched, because Congress has a plan that was called Congressional Plan, and we have a plan document, it was signed, it was sent off, supposedly, and I don't know if it just got added into the big plan, but after this, I should show you, you should look at the statements and make sure that, there's supposed to be a 5% match and a 12.65% match opportunity.
My guess is that it's all in there and it's broken down, and we have the accounting for it, but it's all under one number if you were to add it together. But, so if you had $100,000 in your account, there were maybe three different money types that add up to that. That's probably what's being happened. That's typically what happens in most plans.
Because you could actually have pre-tax money that you put in. You could have Roth money that you put in. You could have the matching money, the employer. And then you can actually have rollover money from like an IRA or something already rolled in. So you can have different money types in your account.
Or you can use guaranteed contribution in the private sector. They would call it profit sharing. It wouldn't be profit sharing here, but it would be a similar type of strategy.
Okay. So let's just look at the, so when it says elective deferral, and then the only portion associated with that is under mine. What is elective deferral actually mean?
That's what you have elected to take out of your paycheck and put into the plan.
Over the course of the time that I've had the plan.
Correct.
And then it says congressperson match. Is that an additional?
That would be, the match would be if the provisions of the plan call for a match of what your individual contribution was, that's what they're calling the match. If the Congress match is if you put in 5% and they're going to match dollar for dollar 5%. Then that's it. The money that the company put in is categorized as a match to your individual deferral. Is there a third line item?
Yeah, the third one is matching contribution.
Okay, so then the second one was congressional match, and the third one was matching contribution.
Correct.
All right, so the 5% would be what they call a matching contribution, and the 12% would be the congressional matching.
That's my understanding.
And that would make sense because for the other employees in the plan,
we don't have any.
Well, but when they were in the plan, right. You're right, they only had the dollar for dollar match to buy.
Right.
So that's all that would show on there. But right now, as you said, this is it for the plan.
Yeah, so all three are in the same.
12 of us plus, those Congress members that have invested in the plan, but then are now no longer Congress members, they're not eligible for the match anymore. They still have their plan with John Hancock. Are we still the trustee, and do we still have obligations vis-a-vis those accounts?
Are they still active employees that are deferring?
No.
And so they're technically no longer employed, but they have account value sitting there. Is that correct?
Correct.
If they have greater than $5,000, you can't force them out. But yes, you'd still be responsible to those accounts. And anything less than $5,000, we can do a force out.
Because I think that my understanding was that at one point there were some former Congress members in the plan, and then all of a sudden they disappeared. And they didn't elect to disappear, so.
But then they may have been transferred to Bank of
Oklahoma. That's what happened to them.
Yeah.
But the money they've got in the plan continues to earn and grow. It's just they can't add additional money to it because they're now not a member.
Well, but, I mean, where did they get moved to the Bank of Oklahoma? They didn't elect that. They just got moved.
So yeah, actually, we wouldn't have had it. Yeah, Bank of Oklahoma took whatever they could take.
And see, we were just notified one day that the plan was moving to be okay. So we did not know what happened there, and we're not involved in that transition.
Okay. So one of the things we need to do, I guess, is encourage our other members to participate so that we can get to a point where the fees are less and more people are able to start saving for retirement.
Absolutely, because, you know, I would be glad to come up if there's a time where I could come up and meet with them and have a short presentation, because it would be to their benefit, because if you think about what their match would be, it's an incredible opportunity for them to participate.
So maybe we'll try to set up some one-on-one meeting slots during, because I mean, I want to talk to you too.
Okay.
We could have this perhaps afterwards, but you're at the table, so I've got a question. When I look at, on the values that we were looking at a minute ago, and then looking at the contributions, it shows that there's under mine, where it's basically what I consider would be, what does mine actually mean under investments? Is that what I contribute?
Do you mind if I look at that? See, because that should be, and John, if you want to.
You might remember that you're on the air too, probably.
I am. That is mine.
Yes, the elected deferral, that is what you put in, that number. That is what the employer is putting right here. So that is your contribution. That is the employer contribution, and then there's the total.
Well, I'm going to have to check into that, because when I look at my pay stub, it shows that my match and the nation's match is always the same.
Okay.
And that's
not. Then we can check that. But that's exactly what that is. So that's going to be employee money. That'll be employer money.
Now, if you're looking at the total, why if you're looking at the total value over a course of a period of time, and you may see difference. It could be on timing of deposits. If you had one deposit that was a deferral deposit, another deposit that was a matching deposit, and they were days apart, it could affect by market performance, growth, those kind of things as well. So, well, we could talk offline about that.
And just to throw in one other thing, I absolutely could set up a time, and I've done this with other groups, where what they do is normally set a 15 to 20 minute time slot, and for anyone not participating in the plan, if we could sign them up, and then anyone here that is in the plan that has questions, sign them up also. So that way, what I would actually do is come back up and sit down and say, okay, meet with the first person at 9 o'clock, then the next person at 9:20, and so forth. And I would have my computer where I could bring up their account information. And that works very well in my experience for getting other employees that are eligible for this plan, that are members, to sign up. And then also if you have any questions. So I'll make sure and leave you each one of my cards after that. And then if you want to do that, we can coordinate a day where I'll be glad to provide that assistance.
Do it in the next 2 weeks, maybe in an afternoon, or all of it.
Were you going to continue your presentation? I'm curious about the ability to borrow, our ability to borrow against it. That was so much different and better than what we had with Morgan Stanley.
Okay, I think what you're referring to there is with a 401k plan, you can have what's called a loan provision. And the loan provision is where you can actually take a loan out against your account. And that is something that John Hancock could do from day one if they wanted that in the plan. So when we first started the plan, there was not a loan provision available because people were just starting. But you're correct, the loan provision has been added. So someone can take a loan out against their account. And what the IRS limitations are on that, you can take a loan out for up to 50% of your total vested account balance, not to exceed a maximum of $50,000. So when you take the money out, what you're losing, it's not in one of the investments earning some type of investment return, but you get the money, you're not taxed on it as long as you pay it back, and then you pay it back with interest. And the principal that you pay back and the interest does go back in your account.
Is there a 90-day provision or anything that if you pay it back within 90 days that you pay no taxes?
Well, now keep in mind.
Or interest, I mean.
The way it's set up, is you normally would start payroll deduction right after the loan. So are you aware of anything where they would be able to avoid interest if it's paid off in 90 days?
No, it starts accruing immediately, so. Yeah, so you have the interest. Now, a lot of the interest is going back to your account, not Hancock, that makes some charge of the fee.
And I wanted to make sure of this too, because this is the way I understood it also. If you elect to take a loan, the not paying the income taxes is great, but, you're still, you said it's going to come, the payback comes out of your paycheck.
Through payroll deduction, that's correct.
But you also still contribute, and the nation still contributes exactly the same as.
Absolutely, if you want to. So you can have a loan payment going back, and you can have a 401k. So the loan is an advantage over what's called a hardship, because under a hardship, if that's in the plan, you physically take the money, so you're taxed on it, plus you normally have to have what's called a 6-month suspension for making contributions. So you're correct. The only thing you've got to be a little bit careful of on the loan, if someone terminates and is no longer part of the group, then keep in mind, if you still have money that you owe on that loan, you've either got to pay that back, or if you're not in a position to pay it back, let's say you've still got $2,000 you owe on the loan, then that becomes a distribution if it's not paid back, and you would be taxed on that.
Yep.
So that's the only thing you've got to be a little bit careful on for the loan, is if someone does terminate and has an outstanding loan, most people, it's very hard for them to be able to write a check and pay that back in full.
Well, that's why you can only take up to half of it.
Right.
Your default, and then we got the other half.
You got you're saving yourself. What does that look like if you were going to do that, and how long would it take to get your money?
The loan process, depending on the features that are set up on your plan, is you could do it online, process of the loan. It would get kicked back to the administrator of the plan here. They'd approve it. The TPA, which is Gary Rowe, Wiker Johnson, Paris Arouse, would process everything, create the loan amortization schedule, and we'd send out a check.
It's about 4 or 5 days.
Yeah, I mean, less than a week probably.
It took a little longer in the beginning to understand, to get all our players in place, but we're pretty good at it.
I typically tell people allow 10 working days to be safe, and it's normally done sooner than that.
Yeah, a lot of it's just getting the proper approval done and getting someone.
I guess I should say, I'm not sure how long it takes after all the paperwork gets in.
And then depending if you want an EFT or if you want a hard check mail, it takes a little longer if it's a hard check mail than electronic bank account.
Okay.
Thank you. Are the fees different on the loans depending on the amount you take or the state?
No, it's a percentage. So there's going to be a loan processing fee. We'll charge $25 and the TPA will charge a fee, maybe $50. And then whatever interest rate they set up at the time or what's in your plan document is for the amortization schedule. Somewhere typically around 4% would be your rate on it.
But then the employee gets 100% of that interest. That goes back in the employee's account that's taken the loan.
Correct.
But you really should factor in the fees when you start doing the math on doing that, because you don't borrow very much money.
You definitely don't want it to be a bank account or people to pull money out. But if it's there, if somebody needs to borrow money out, then that's what the provision is.
No emergencies happens, but people tend to want to overinvest. And most people as an advisor, you say, well, lifestyle, what your monthly bills are, and let's be smart.
Exactly. And we do really talk to the employees when we're meeting with them that this is for retirement. Yeah. It is geared long-term, whether you're looking at an investment or whether you're looking at some other aspect, look 3-5 years out. And you're right, the loan provision is there if someone really needs it. But we don't encourage them to use it like a credit union type situation.
So if there are any other questions, I'll address one other short commercial for John Hancock, and then and just continue to say thank you. So, well, first off, the important number is that $1 million range. If we're able to accumulate that, then the fee, whether it's charged at the participants at 0.47% or if we bill it, it would go away completely, and it's just an economy of scale. So as plans grow, we have rate points in place, that we lower the fees, and we'll always make sure that the fees are competitive in the industry. I gave you two brochures here. One, why John Hancock? And I think, you know, we're definitely upset to see the casino and some of the nation employees leave. You know, I try not to ever talk negative about different products, but we feel pretty strongly about what we offer at John Hancock. We're one of the largest providers of retirement plans. We offer 57,000 plans of how many John Hancock's operate around the country, which is number one or number two in overall providers as far as the number of plans. We're servicing plans from the $1 billion and up market all the way down to a startup plan with no assets inside of it. And we've got different products. This why John Hancock brochure, I won't really go through everything, but it's sort of a history timeline. And so the first 401k went into an act and it became effective in 1980. We were in the pension business prior to that. We had a product ready to go in 1980. We started selling 401k plans all the way throughout. Really took off in the 1990s. And everything on a timeline here is things that we've been first to the industry to bring. Now you're seeing other competitors have adopted different things. You know, as you've seen that kit is something as simple as color coding investment options back in 1993. That seems so basic now, but it was a concept that was new to the industry at that point in time. What we've done, and we made a big change in 2014, was we went to level revenue. And level revenue is an important issue facing companies and providers out there today, based on Department of Labor regulations that have affected the private sector of businesses, meaning there is increased liability for operating retirement plans on employers. A little different world in the governmental type space, but I think a lot of times you still apply the same fundamentals of things. And what we're trying to yell from the rooftops as a provider in today's industry is that we don't care what investment options are chosen within a plan. We're going to pay a level fee to John Hancock. So we look at a plan whenever a new business comes to us or existing plans. We say, based on your assets or then your average account balance, those kind of things, this is what it costs to operate your plan, completely independent of the investment options. And that's important when you look at a huge menu of funds, which you've got a lot of different investment options from a lot of different investment managers associated there, is that we want to have the ability, if you as a participant go and invest your money however you want to, it's not going to affect the way we are paid. Where some of our competitors, remain to be quiet, I won't name names, will make more money off of a proprietary fund than they will off of a non-proprietary fund. So in cases, you'll see fees appear less because by law, they're not required to disclose additional revenue off of proprietary funds. Off of proprietary fixed account is another big option that they are not required to put spread revenue. So you may see a lower fee, but the more proprietary funds that are put into those plans will help offset those fees, and it's sort of a smoke and mirrors kind of thing. What we think that is more fiduciarily sound, if that's a word I seem to use all the time, is that we're going to say, here's what John Hancock makes on your plan. Here's what we're going to make as your plan grows. Change your investment options as often as you want to, and it's not going to affect your price. And that's the way we feel the industry is going. Unfortunately, not everybody operates that way. Being the size and scale that we are, we're able to invest in the right areas. We're able to invest in technology. We're able to invest in better products. We're able to invest in participant-type features, which is why you saw a new website launch and the iPhone compatibility and the ways that millennials and things are communicating and gathering information. We're doing a lot of research and study on that. If we can charge fees appropriately, if we can provide better technology, better customer service, then we're going to be a long-term player in the marketplace. And that just tells a little bit of what we've done. This is our new large market product that we brought out. It's designed for plans that are over 10 million. It's something that's complete open architecture, all advanced technology, all electronic. And we're, you know, winning that in that 10 million to the $1 billion market space, and it's a really neat technology things that they've done there. That would be in the fact that if we were able to have a shot one day at the casino and the other nation plan again, we come in with a full presentation and show you some of the new technology that's out there that honestly will blow away a lot of the competition. So But thank you for the opportunity, I really appreciate it, thank you.
Well, thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, and I believe I'll pass around my cards so that you've got those, and then how many extra copies do you want me to leave?
Seven.
Okay, we'll leave those. And then if you want to touch base with me when you have a chance to see, maybe in the next couple of weeks, if there's an.
Yeah, I'll go look towards the end of the session.
Okay.
Maybe things are quieting down a little bit, or you not maybe. Can you find some desks?
Okay, we've got an unfinished business for later, so chair, we're entertaining a motion to recess to follow the chair.
Can we do that now?
Sometime.
Yeah. Second.
All in favor, say yes.
Yes.
All right, we are in recess.